Yesterday, I was out there working on the airplane, and I had a little, doing a little preventative maintenance on them, cleaning the fuel bowls and strainers and all that kind of stuff. And so I found a little bit of crud in the carburetor on the 150. So I thought, well, I just pull the entire carburetor off and the air cleaner and all that stuff and take it to the shop up here, and I'll go through it and clean it and everything. So I hear I've got this complete assembly. And if you've never worked on an airplane, you don't know how difficult they are to work on, but some of you have worked on them. So when I had this complete assembly in my hand there on the bench, I told Dave, I said, Dave, look at this. I said, there must have been an engineer stayed up at night to figure out how to make this so close and so impossible to work on. Did you hear any light grumbling in that? Have you heard me preach, do all things without grumbling? How many times have you heard me say that? I mean, is that what the Word says? Do all things without grumbling and complaining? Have you also heard the Lord say, get the log out of your own eye? So you might be able to see clearly to take the little tiny one out of your brother's eye. Well, when I said, if this guy that stayed up nights to figure out how to do this, probably really what happened, the Lord probably gave that guy all that knowledge and wisdom to know how to do that so he could get it all in such a little place so I'd have a wonderful airplane to fly. And he wasn't happy with what I said. And so when I told that to Dave, I turned that carburetor over, and when I turned it over in my hand, I advanced the throttle, and the throttle accelerator pump squirted a shot of high-powered gasoline right in my right eye. I mean, it set me on fire. I immediately said, Lord, I repent. I'll tell you, he washed the log out of my eye. It got my attention. It hurt. It set me on fire. I ran over there. I said, Dave, you got any water? I got to go get some water. So he run, got a gallon jug of water he had from somewhere and started pouring it in my hand. And I flooded my eye with water until I could see how to get to the house. And I come to the house and flooded my eye with water again. And then I went into the bathroom. Cheryl gave me some spray. And I sprayed and sprayed that neutralizer in my eye. And then yesterday afternoon, as my eye was really blurry, every time I'd look up and that right eye was blurry, I'd say, Lord, I want you to know again, I repent for my stupidity. I repent. You know, he knows how to get your attention. You know that? Somebody says, you know, that was just a coincidence that you sprayed that in your eye at that very second. There was no coincidence to that. None. God did not like me grumbling and complaining. What he wanted me to say is, Lord, thank you that I have this airplane to fly. That's what he wanted me to say. He didn't like grumbling and complaining. And so anyway, the moral behind the story is don't grumble and complain. It pays terrible dividends. And I'll tell you, I haven't had anything that burned and hurt me as bad in a long time as I did that gasoline in my eye. And I mean, it shot a stream, hard stream, it's half the size of a pencil lead, but when I flipped that thing over, it just shot that thing, and I'm looking right in the base of that carburetor, and it just hit me right in that right eye. Bam, it hurt. If it had been water, it would have hurt, but it wasn't. It was gasoline, and it really did hurt. I don't mind telling you. So I want to say, I believe the Lord has got my attention, at least till I grumble and complain next time. Lord, help me that I don't grumble and complain anymore. I know He doesn't like it, and I know we suffer the consequences. Every time I grumble, I pay the price almost instantly. So I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I do. So anyway, let's come to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank You and praise You for the beautiful day. We thank You for Your Word. We ask You to open our hearts and minds now to the Word of God as we read it and study it. And we give You all the glory and praise and honor for all the things You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, before we get started in the message I have today, one of the seven things in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, the Lord hates is abortion. Those that take the life of innocent children. We know that's something God hates. Well, when I look at what's going on, at least I looked at a little bit last night of this big mega church in California that had the two candidates for our presidency. Had one of them on for 2 hours and then the other one on for 2 hours, and neither one of the others got to meet the other except as they're passing. But he talked to them, and I did not realize how liberal this pastor was until I listened to a little of his teaching. And now I understand why he has a mega church. I mean, you know, I understand. But the things that he asked, and it would be awesome, I think, to have had the privilege to hear the message he was going to preach today. Maybe they'll put that on the air, and I can see that. But Obama clearly says he is for abortion. No problem. We kill babies. No problem. It's just a way of life, you know. So I got a message for him. God doesn't like it. He hates it. And then, of course, McCain, you know, he said, well, I know I do a lot of things wrong, but I'm under grace and I'm forgiven. And then, of course, when Obama talked about, well, you know, the Bible's just a book, you know, you go to the book of Leviticus, it says it's okay to have slaves. So do you want us to have slaves? Or you go to Deuteronomy, and he makes some other statements there. And then he says, or you can go over to the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, that's the craziest thing I've ever read in my life. Nobody could keep those commandments. Nobody could do that. He said, you know what Christians need to do? They need to read their Bible. That was his last statement. I thought, you know, for a smart man, you need to read it. You need to read it too. Obviously, you hadn't read it either. But I will have to say, he made a correct statement. Christians, you need to read your Bible. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know which of the two evils you're going to take at voting time. You know where I'm coming from? I hope you take the lesser of the two evils. But both of them are evil. But I don't understand all that. I don't know why. I think I do know why God's doing what He's doing. Because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, when you listen to a pastor of a mega church, and they don't preach on sin. They don't talk about those things. I think, wow. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. Today we're going to talk about this living and how we're supposed to live. And we're going to talk about, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 33, we're going to talk about, in the first 14 verses, we're going to talk about living in the light of God's Word. We're going to see what it says. I mean, this book is the Word of God. So in Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14, we'll start and we'll talk about living in the light. Now, I don't care which translation Dave puts it up there. He puts it in NLT. That's good. In verse 1, it says, follow God's example in what? Everything. Not your example, His example. Follow God's example in everything you do because you're His dear children. Now, this only pertains to God's children. If you're not one of God's children, then you can just do what you want to do, you know, because it's going to be awful for you anyway. But He's talking to you and me, His dear children. He says, live a life filled with love for others. Now, especially the church. You know, we need to have a love. In fact, I won't call any names a while ago, but one while ago there was one of our men here in the church was walking out and he stepped on the back of a girl's shoe and she turned around and whopped him. And when she turned around and whopped him, he turned around to me and said, you need to teach her how to walk in love. They were both kidding each other. You know, they were doing this. They knew what they were doing. They were just being kids. You know, they were being children. See, so, I mean, we're all still children, are we not? And we have children, and we know, some of us we know better than we do others, so we can kind of do things with some we wouldn't dare do with another one. But anyway, the Lord says, live a life filled with love for others. A life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ. Well, he says, first of all, he loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. Now, he did that to take away your sin. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him. Now then, if the Father in heaven was pleased with Jesus, if we follow his example, he'll be pleased with us. And he'll do wonderful things for us. And like Psalms we read there a while ago, he will meet all of our needs. And we love that when God meets all of our needs and protects us. Okay, verse 3 and 4, it says, let there be... No, isn't it amazing how many times God put this in his book? Let there be how much sexual immorality? Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Now, living in the light, when we're living in the light, this is where we're supposed to be living. This is an example of what we're supposed to be doing and not doing. And I don't understand us when it says, let there be no sexual immorality. Now then, let's go to the King James and read verse 3 and 4 in the King James. Let's flip over to that in 3 and 4 in the King James and see what it says. Now this is real easy to understand, but in the King James says, but fornication... Now, see, some people don't even know what the word fornicate means, so they wouldn't get that. But fornication and all uncleanness. Wait a minute now. Uncleanness? What is uncleanness? Uncleanness is the things that homosexuals and perverts do. A homosexual fits right there. Unclean acts they perform. But it says... fornication or no sexual immorality and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.